Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem, still in the section on the Paradise of the Lord, chapter 59. And this is writing 7 in the Paradise of the Lord. Manifesting Paradise. Scriptures. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion, round about him, were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Psalm 18, verses 4 to 16. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 31. Whoso keepeth a fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Proverbs 27 and verse 18. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. Ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 33, and scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Then was my right arm supported, and I was carried to a place barren and waste, a land that was the earth as though it had no water. The angel which was with me set me upon the barren landscape, brown, with no life. I could see the circumference of the earth set in its courses, and in the purpose of the living Lord who did show me these things. In front of me was one very small, gnarled fig tree. No leaves on its branches, no seeming life within it. A storm assailed the tree. The storm was dark and black and very tempestuous, with much wind and black clouds, but no rain. The storm assailed on the little gnarled fig tree, bending it and whipping its branches in every direction, causing it to bend to near breaking. However, I was curious as to the strength of this tree, for it endured such a horrible storm upon it. As I looked closely at the branches, little buds with veins of green began to form in the parts of the branches. These buds grew and swelled and became rich in green color. The more the storm assailed the tree in this barren landscape, the more the buds swelled and grew greener and more alive, bursting open in blossoms and life in the midst of the storm. End vision. Second vision. I beheld, as it were, the first vision. However, instead of a fig tree, I saw a cross with the overcomers as one company upon it. The cross was assailed from all sides with a horrendous dark storm and tempest, worse than any storm I have seen upon the earth. The crucified one was impaled solidly upon the wood of the cross, and the storm could not wrench the body from the impaled nails that held it secure. Yet within the body was the light of the ages, the light of life itself. Although the body perished, it became an avenue of life for this life of the ages to begin to flow unabated out and to flow as a river of living waters, immeasurable and unbounded, onto this parched landscape to water it and to nourish it and to restore it completely into the full expanse of the same life that the crucified one carried within. And vision. And both visions. The personal cross, the Lord gives to each one to carry is not just an instrument of death to the carnal nature. It is the avenue, the very course and wisdom of the Lord, which brings life to every part of our person. The cross is the vehicle which carries in it the power of the Lord unto salvation, which salvation can only be accomplished fully by dying out to this world and all that is within it, and coming alive fully unto the Lord as a new creation. Not only so, but it is the finished work of the cross in the life of they that overcome that this entire world is waiting for. Because nothing can happen in this world to change it and to bring it to the light of salvation until the cross has completed its work in the lives of they who have sold themselves out for the kingdom of heaven. I am convinced in my doctrine that the purpose of the Lord is to restore this created world as well as all the cosmos, the starry heavens, and the life of all within it. That the purpose of the Lord to do this is through the vehicle of the cross. The myriad of things that will be unleashed in the days ahead in this world will cause much fear to arise. Not only will fear arise in the earth, but men will begin to disdain any hope of finding a solution to the complex things that are about to take place. The Lord is going to use the natural creation in the way of storms and the shifting earth to shake this world and to bring it to a conclusion. There will be now some things taking place which will cause fear in men, not a negative fear, but a fear which will cause them to seek for an answer. Global warming will be blamed for some of the things which will happen. But know this, dear reader, that this is indeed the hand of the Lord who is judging the earth. This judgment is only in the beginning stages. You will see on your news broadcasts and in personal experience these things which have never been seen before. This fear that will arise in men will also be used to prepare them to receive truth, which will banish fear and will bring men into the hope of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The creation which is groaning for this manifestation will grow in a little deeper, a little longer, a little more in desperation as these judgments from the Lord begin to appear in the earth. However, this writing is not about these things that are about to happen, but the things that we as a company of obedient ones will do in this time that is coming. For I believe in my doctrine that the preparations are happening and the elements are in place for personal crucifixion to be fulfilled and for the life of the Lord to manifest itself through these who have been obedient to the denial of their lives in this world. The cross will be the means of the open display of the life of the Father, which life cannot be stopped or negated or relegated to carnal thinking. The life of the Father is about to be manifested in the lives of they that have overcome, so that no carnality can survive the essence of his life. This life is about to break loose and be seen and known, even by the ungodly, as the very life of the living Christ. There are elements in the New Jerusalem which are very dear to the heart of they that overcome, not just righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, but an actual manifestation of that righteousness, peace, and joy which no carnality can exist beside. For it is the carnality of this world that quenches righteousness, peace, and joy. It is carnality that quenches the work of the Holy Spirit. It is carnality that causes you to be nailed to the cross. It is carnality that the upright stake of the cross is impaled in, right in the place of the skull. the place where Jesus finished his passion. It is there that the very miracle power of the Lord will be openly displayed, and men shall shut their mouths at this display, for the Lord is about to appear in the glory of everlasting life through the lives of they that were crucified with him. And think not that this is far off, for it is not. Even during the course of time we are in now, while our physical hearts do beat, shall we begin to see this take place. Progressively at first, but later a full manifestation. A people seen, no carnality in them, no fleshy old nature to disdain, but a people who are complete and entire and manifested in bodies glorified here on this earth. And you, dear reader, are a part of this, part of the whole, part of the manifestation of Christ in the earth. Jesus is about to be seen. The New Jerusalem has within its walls several elements that can only be seen if one is holy and without fault. There are several things which are very important to this world and are the tools or elements or fulfilled promises that this creation needs to be restored. The first thing, of course, is that one cannot enter this city if they are not completely holy and righteous with no carnality or old nature in them. For nothing that defiles can enter that city. The next few things seen in succession are a display of the love of the Lord that cannot be argued against. These things include the river of the waters of life, flowing unbounded and unmeasured from under the throne and out of the gates to this creation. Then there is also beside this river the street of transparent gold, that walk of holiness which has no question mark attached to it, that the person who transverses this street will know even as they are known. The street is a course of divine holiness, purified by the very nature and person of the Father, and it is a street which every man will in time walk upon. It is one street, straight and holy. Another element is the tree of life in the midst of the river of life, while at the same time being on either side of the river of life. Ah, such wisdom! For the tree of life is a tree of multiplicity, a tree that combines the banks and the stream, whereof it makes glad all who enter this city. This tree will be seen by all nations and by all peoples. Time will be no more when this tree is seen. And this tree will be full of 12 fruits, yielding themselves for each month, and no one will be exempt from eating these fruits. No night in this city, no heat of the sun, no burning of trial or testing, for this city is the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. Again, this city is the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Not just as an example of the church, but a manifested display of the life of Father that will flow through all they who are one in this purpose. And this tree will be full of 12 fruits, yielding themselves for each month, and no one will be exempt from eating these fruits. No night in the city, no heat of the sun, no burning of trial or testing, for the city is the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Not just as an example of the church, but a manifested display of the life of Father that will flow through all they who are one in this purpose. These who will reveal this display first are upon crosses. Or if you will, they die corporately with Jesus and are raised corporately with Jesus. Out of the tomb and raised in incorruption shall be these who will manifest these elements of the New Jerusalem. So seven, first the cross. First the cross, then righteousness, peace, and joy. First the cross, then entrance and holiness into the city. First the cross, then the issue of the river of the waters of life. First the cross, then the revelation of the tree of life. First the cross, then partaking of the 12 fruits of the tree of life. First the cross, then healing leaves for the nations. First the cross, the full pleasure of the kingdom of God. And for they that overcome, first the cross, then the throne. Think it not strange, therefore, this fiery trial which is to try you. This trial is the impaling of the cross. It is causing you to become, come into an immovable state, a state wherein your will is removed from you. For one who hangs upon the cross has lost their will. They cannot do or speak or be anything other than ones identified with Jesus. They will be fully identified with the sufferings of Christ for the sole reason of manifesting also the very life of Christ. Are you beset in trial, compassed with infirmity and sufferings of many kinds? Do you bear about in your body the proof of your mortality? Is there in you a complex set of problems which only the cross can answer? If so, then you are partaking of the cross if you are denying yourself in all these things. If you are saying, "Not my will, but thine be done," it is only to the measure that you are willing to bear this cross that the time and the glory of his resurrection life will be seen. For there are many that go so far and faint, then wither away back into the baser elements of the world and an easy life. Those who choose the palm trees of a temporary paradise, the stream and wells of a tiny spring of water, which will lose out and not be counted as full overcomers. But those who bear fully the crucifixion process, being pained of the cross with Jesus, they will rise again as ones who were fully identified as saviors. Jesus endured mocking and scourging and accusations cast into his teeth, and he came not down from the cross. Neither will we, if we desire the full measure of the life of Father to be our only portion. There is an intensity just now in the life of they that overcome that no one can really see or notice or understand. People in the world do not want to be identified with the method of death chosen for the life of the Lord's people. To embrace the cross is completely foolish to the carnal mind, the mind that is protecting self and all its raunchy measures of self-righteousness. Raunchy measures of self-righteousness. It is the carnal mind that judges the spiritual mind, and the spiritual mind bears this judgment by not thinking of it as anything of value. Yet it is the carnal mind which will attempt to kill the spiritual mind. It is the spiritual mind, however, that will be the only thing to survive the crucifixion process. And it is the spiritual mind, again, it is the spiritual mind, the mind of the spirit, spiritual mind, however, that will be the only thing to survive the crucifixion process. And it is the spiritual mind that is the eternal mind, the mind of Father, the mind that knows exactly how the elements within the Lord's city actually work. To those who obeyed the Lord by suffering daily and by taking up their crosses daily shall the spiritual mind be seen. And this spiritual mind will remove free will from off of mankind. The power of the Lord in the thought of the spiritual mind will cause all this creation to end. These are not just light words. They are manifestations of that which is truth in the wisdom and the counsel of the Lord. It is the cross, heavier than it was yesterday. Again, I'm sorry. Is the cross heavier than it was yesterday? Is the power of God unto salvation clouded somewhat by the trial you are in? If so, you are on track. Now let's just go over those last three sentences slowly again. Very important. Is the cross heavier than it was yesterday? Question mark. Is the power of God unto salvation clouded somewhat by the trial you are in? Question mark. If so, you are on track. It is the working of the Lord to deliver you up for crucifixion that is happening right now. So if you want to know what the Lord's doing, he's delivering you up for crucifixion. Do you believe you are seated in heavenly places in Christ, as Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 states, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How would you be if you had no carnality in you to war against that? This is what is taking place. Our life is being delivered up to have removed from it anything that would separate us from manifesting these very truths in the word of the Lord. This is what I term spiritual progression. It is the life of the word of the Lord in us that will endure the tempest that is about to come to this world. They that have partaken of the cross will endure it. The rest will be found wanting. Dear overcomer, we are learning to die to man's judgments, die to man's assumptions, die to man's disdain, die to those even of our own company who disqualify us, die to any hope on our own to do anything that has any measure of right in it, for all we do will fail. Die to anything that shows any strength of our own. Die to anyone who may be found with us who is not willing to bear the process of crucifixion. Die to any doctrine or assumption of the Word of God which would quench our thirst with a sponge of vinegar, thus lessening our pain. So the vinegar lessens pain. Don't drink it. die to anything that would deaden our spiritual sensibilities. Die to anything that is of this present world, which is about to be hit with a storm that will be unlike anything seen before. None of these things will affect you if you are willing to partake of Christ's sufferings. And if you are willing, the result will be the manifestation of the city of the Lord. All his person, all his wealth, all his love. The result will be love unbounded, life that will encompass all. Hold fast, dear overcomer. This display is about to begin. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.